As I shared last week, we will be in this chapter for a very long time because there's so much in it. Hebrews 11. Tonight we look at verses 10 to 16 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So strangers and pilgrims. Lord, give us wisdom tonight as we look into your word. Thank you for the privilege to open it together and pray your teach us now and work miracles in our hearts through it. We give you this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as he says here in verse 10, they look for a city. He's talking about the Old Testament believers and how they understood that a lot of the things that had been promised them, they hadn't seen yet and may not be able to see until after they died, which is the truth for us as well when it comes to heaven. But it says it hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. And so this city he's talking about is the what we refer to in the book of Revelation as the New Jerusalem, the city of God, it's called. And over, down in verse 22 of chapter 12, it's mentioned. Notice it says here, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So God refers to the heavenly Jerusalem as the city of the living God. And if you go to chapter 13 of Hebrews and verse 14, Hebrews 13, 14, it says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." So there's a city that we're looking forward to, and that city is the city of God, which is described for us in the book of Revelation coming down out of heaven there in Revelation chapter 21. And the foundation, of course, has been laid by God. And just as the foundation of our salvation is Jesus Christ, as we're told in 1 Corinthians, so the foundation of the city is God himself. Now, we'll look at verse 11 in detail next week when it talks about Sarah, how she, it says she judged him faithful. We'll have a bit of a deeper look into verses 11 and 12 next week and understand how that works and how God overlooks some of the mistakes of our past. Aren't you thankful for that? Because if you read the story of Sarah, she actually laughed at God, didn't she? When he made the promise about having a child. And yet here we read, as looking back from God's perspective, she judged him faithful. So God overlooked her failings there and saw the faith, which God then blessed. But as it says there in verse 13, they all died in faith. And then it says they hadn't received the promises, but they saw them afar off. This is what God wants for us as well, that we need to believe the promises of God and not only believe them, but see them and live them by faith. And if you go to Romans 4, God talks a bit more about this. Romans chapter 4. Verse 21, we need to believe that God not only has the power to save us from hell, which obviously we believe that or we wouldn't have trusted him, but we need to believe that that same God will let us live for him with him forever in heaven, will prepare for us a mansion. We can't see these promises, but we need to believe them by faith. Romans 4:21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what God wants us to do. Be fully persuaded that God will keep his promises. And he's saying that the Old Testament saints were persuaded that God is a God that keeps His promises. He promised them a land, and He promised them heaven, and they believed them. And that's why it says there in verse 13, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What does that mean? It means that they recognized that because they had believed on God, that now they were to live for heaven rather than earth. And that they were just passing through, as we sing in the song. This earth is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. God wants us to confess the same. If you go to 1 Peter 2, the Bible says for New Testament saints, we should confess the same. That we are strangers and pilgrims. That this earth is not our home. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." So there it is again. "Abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Do we act like citizens of earth or citizens of heaven? That's really what the point is of this passage. Because we're already citizens of heaven. The day we trusted Christ, we were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God wants us to live as citizens of heaven rather than citizens of earth. The Bible says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them," in Ephesians 5:11. So we're not to live for this earth anymore. We're to live for heaven and understand that that's forever and that it's coming and that it's ours by faith. We need to believe that. And then if you go to Matthew 6, Jesus explained that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And that's where He tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. Notice Matthew 6, down in verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So we're to be laying up treasures in heaven because we're citizens of heaven. And just like the Old Testament saints confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims, so are we. We are strangers and pilgrims just passing through. It says in verse 14 of our passage, "They say such things, declare plainly that they seek a country." So they sought a city and they sought a country. And that is not New Zealand. That is heaven. We seek a new country. Isn't it interesting? He says, verse 15, "Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out." In other words, if their focus had been on where they came from, then it says they might have had opportunity to have returned. Picturing our past, God is saying, what? Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. That God called us out of a sinful world to a new life in Christ to become citizens of heaven. Don't look back. Focus on what's ahead. As Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Because if we start looking back, it's only a matter of time before we go back. That's how it always works, which is why God told Lot and his family, don't look back, because I'm going to burn it up. God's going to burn this up. So he was picturing that judgment that's coming when God's going to burn the earth up. Verse 16, "Now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly." So there God describes our new country. So our new city is the city of God, the new Jerusalem, Revelation 21. Our new country is heaven. And the Bible says that these people who walked by faith, many of them never got to see the promised land. They just knew it was coming, but they died before they were able to arrive. But they still believed that there was a better country, which is and heavenly. And as Paul said, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So we also seek a heavenly, better country. And God is therefore, verse 16, not ashamed to be called their God. So this city, let's look at it real quick in Revelation 21. Those of us that are strangers and pilgrims can look forward to this city, the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21 describes it. Now, we won't read the whole chapter, but it says in verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem. So it's the same description as the one we just read about in Hebrews. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. Verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 16, the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. About 2,500 kilometers cubed. Think that's big enough to hold some mansions? It's one thing to be squared, which is how we think of land on earth, but then you go up 2,500 k's. That's a big city. And the Bible says it'll be suspended above the earth after the kingdom, and we will be able to come and go. And he talks about the walls, the foundations, the jewels that are in the walls, the 12 gates, how the names of the apostles are engraved upon it. Verse 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So they'll be the temple, they'll be the light of this city. God doesn't say a lot about it, but it's going to be amazing. And we get to be there. And we are strangers and pilgrims on this earth because this is our city. And heaven's our country. The Old Testament saints believed that, and it affected what they did and how they lived, and it should do the same for us because we believe the same, that we have a better country, we have a better city, and we're going to get to spend forever in it, and God wants us to live for it and to confess as they did, we're just strangers and pilgrims. Let's pray.